This weekend, Russ and I had to drive to Oberlin, Ohio for the last time to pick up our daughter Katie's stuff. Katie graduated from Oberlin last year, but spent this year working in a lab on a research grant. Russ and I decided to take the scenic route through the UP and Michigan, stopping wherever it seemed sensible in Michigan for the night. We had to keep our own luggage to a minimum because Katie has amassed a lot of stuff over 5 years in Oberlin, which all had to be loaded into our Prius. I was pretty focused on general logistics regarding getting there in time for Katie's final steel drum concerts and packing, and I didn't think much about the drive itself, but when we were driving through sand dunes and jack pine habitat in the Upper Peninsula, it suddenly occurred to me that I hadn't seen a Kirtland's warbler in Michigan since 1993. I'd seen one in Lake Kissimmee State Park in Florida this past October and was hungry to see more, and so I looked at a map, and the road we were traveling on, I-75, happens to go right through Grayling, where Michigan Audubon and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service offer daily warbler tours from May 15th through the beginning of July. We were going to have to stop somewhere in Michigan for the night, so why not in Grayling? So suddenly our trip was transformed from one totally focused on our daughter to a birding adventure. Our motel had internet, so I Googled Kirtland's Warbler Tours, and the first link was to the Michigan Audubon Trips. You don't need a reservation. All you have to do is show up at the Grayling Holiday Inn at 7 or 11 a.m. to go on a free tour. First, you sit through a brief movie about Kirtland's warbler, explaining why this critically endangered bird has faced such difficulties since the era of fire suppression and cowbird expansion. Kirtland's warblers nest only on the ground beneath jack pine branches. Jack pine cones open only after being exposed to the supreme heat of fire, and after the trees are two or three decades old, the lower branches fall off, making them unsuitable for warbler nesting from then on. One fire went out of control in the late 70s, killing some people and scorching many thousands of acres. Since then, they've stopped managing the birds with burning, maintaining the habitat with artificial plantings and logging, which doesn't promote quite as much breeding, but the warbler has been increasing and expanding, so this technique obviously works. Cowbirds did not used to range into Michigan except very rarely, being associated with bison. But since the 1800s, they've become a huge problem, so they're actively trapped. On our tour, we were shown natural and specifically managed habitat and a cowbird trapping setup. And of course, we got to see Kirtland's warblers. First, we heard them, four or five, singing at once. Their song is very loud, and the vegetation in the habitat is sparse enough to allow the song to travel long distances, so just hearing them is a delight. The first one we saw was at some distance, but our tour leader, Sean Fitzgerald, assured us we'd probably get closer to one down the road, and sure enough, we got plenty close to one very cooperative little singer. Sean had brought a spotting scope, good enough for me to get a few marginal but identifiable photos. Had I anticipated stopping in Grayling, I'd have brought my own spotting scope and the camera I use for digiscoping. We got the kinds of views that would have produced incredible photos. So, oh darn, I'll just have to go back again someday. The photos I did get are on my webpage at lauraerickson.com. They aren't much, but the experience left me with a lovely glow that lasted the whole drive to Ohio and all the way home. Not bad for a spur-of-the-moment side trip. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.